Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road next week. I have fresh ones. These are the fresh Pac-Man giveaways. We have winners. Actually, had a guy came up to me at Fadley's, wanted me to cash his ticket for him. I'm like, no, it doesn't work that way. Just because I gave you the ticket, I you have to take it to a lottery retailer, someplace like Rofo or Wise or Costas or someplace like that. But we will have these next week. We will have them up at Greenmount Station at Greenmount Bowl. I'm not exactly sure where we're doing the show, but it's one place or the other. They're in the same parking lot. That's up in Hampstead. It's been a little while. I got to go get me a crab cake up there at Greenmount Station. Maybe take some ribs home to my wife as well. That's next Wednesday, the 24th, on the 26th, on Friday. Luke and I will reconvene down at Fadley's. He had his life changed on Friday. He had his first Fadley's crab cake down there in the new location, and I did as well. Gave him some shrimp salad for the road. I'll give him a Pac-Man scratch off next Friday as well. We are stacked here with home games, road games. We're going to be up late next week before we get this whole like home thing started again. Oh, we get to see Oakland here. So there's all sorts of things happening here, but in the near short term, they're good. And we've talked a lot about the farm system and the history and 1-1s and Colton Cowser and all that. Luke, what are you digging about the team right now? What do you like about this at the almost the 10% poll? We'll be there by the time we get to the middle of the week.
I mean, it's really the team that for the most part thought it would be. I think obviously enough can't be said about how well Colton Cowser is playing right now and whether he's going to continue at this clip, which, look, I mean, we're talking about someone who I think finished the series against Milwaukee with a 971 slugging percentage. So clearly he's going to cool off a little bit. I mean, we're talking about someone with player of the week production. That's been great to see. But, you know, there's nothing about the team that's really shocked me, except maybe beyond that, just from the standpoint of Colton Cowser struggling or playing so well while Austin Hayes has struggled to the degree that he has and just what that means for each of them moving forward. But, you know, I love the young talent on this team. I love the fact that they've already promoted Jackson Holiday, as weird as the handling of that was. And we've been over that. And I don't think there's any reason to continue to rehash that. Mike Elias addressed it over the weekend and, you know, basically said it came as close as he was going to come to saying, yeah, we kind of realized there's nothing more for him to do a Triple A. He's got to come up here. And as I said before, one of the reasons why I wanted him on the opening day roster was he was going to struggle early on. And that doesn't, because he struggled over his first four or five games, it doesn't mean Mike Elias was right or wrong in when he was brought up. It's just how this works. Adley Rutschman, who was 4 years older, struggled when he was called up. Gunnar Henderson struggled for 2 months last year, after he was called up the previous September. Colton Cowser, we saw how he struggled last summer, and we see what he looks like right now. Looks like an MVP candidate the first 3 weeks of the season. So it's just how it works. But just in general, the amount of young talent that they have, the amount of young talent that's at Triple A waiting for an opportunity, and I'm sure at least a couple of those guys we're going to see at some point here in the coming weeks and months. And, you know, on the pitching side, there's a little more question, as we thought, given the state of health with their current rotation. The bullpen, I think, while I still long-term want to see another high-leverage arm that they can slot into the back of the bullpen, I think for the most part, it's held up pretty well. You know, Keegan Aiken's been a pleasant surprise for them and what he's been able to do in a little more of a relevant role than I think people projected for him early on. We'll see if that continues. But by and large, it's been the team for the most part that I thought it would be. You know, they certainly, they've hit the ball really well at times, but they've also had some lulls, and you'd like to see them do it for a full nine innings rather than having to rely on these comebacks. But we said that all last year for a 101 win team. On the pitching side, it had been pretty good overall until these first couple games of the Milwaukee series that bloodied their nose, I think was the term that you used. So, you know, I like this team. I think they're going to be really good. Are they going to be better than they were last year in terms of wins and losses? That's a really high bar, but I fully expect them to be right there in the AL East and duking it out for a division title. And we'll see if the Yankees can keep up the pace at which they've won, which has been really impressive. And we'll see what the rest of the division looks like. Meanwhile, you have the Minnesota Twins coming in, who were a good story last year, but they're a team that took steps back with their roster. You know, they lost Sonny Gray. They lost Kenta Maeda. They lost Emilio Pagan from their bullpen. And they've been a team that early on has pitched pretty well. They've really struggled to hit the ball. And now Carlos Correa being on the shelf makes it even more difficult for them. I mean, they enter this series 27th in the majors in runs scored per game. So this is an opportunity for the Orioles to fully expect to win a series and finish the home stand on a high note after, you know, not a great series against Milwaukee. Let's call a spade Sunday aside. So this is an opportunity for the Orioles to get right a little bit here. Not that they have to get right in terms of that things are going poorly, but you want to be able to finish at least with a 500 homestand, and you can do that by taking two out of three from the Twins, who, like I said, they've pitched well, but the offense has really been a struggle for them, and now they don't have Carlos Correa even.
Well, you mentioned some of the blue chip guys. Let's talk about some of the unsung guys: Mateo, O'Hearn. Some of the, I mean, even Westberg. To your point, he's in another organization. Westberg would be a really good draft pick and a really nice player and a solid guy you'd want to add to your team and say this guy will be here the next 4 to 6 years and we think he's a big league ball player and might hit 290, might hit 260, but he's going to be a big league ball player and he's going to be a guy that we can count on, good heady player, gamer, all of that stuff, the guy, kind of guy you want to have around. We talk so much, there's so much oxygen this week on Jackson Holliday. He's only got one hit, by the way. And you know, we've done all of that for Rutschman in the past. And I mean, I don't know that Henderson ever really got that. He sort of scuffled, struggled a little bit. He was so young, like Holliday, so young. A lot of these guys young. The guys that I was worried the most about would be regression, as you would say, regression to the mean. That's, I steal that one from you. But some of the guys that aren't blue chip guys, some of the guys that like the Mountcastles we've been trying to get rid of for a couple of years, or even the fact that Hayes, how long will they allow him to struggle? What will that look like in June or July? Because he's got to get at bats to not struggle, but he's got to have better at bats than stop struggling, and they have another guy. That's when this really gets a little tricky dicky, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, what's funny, you just described Jordan Westberg. I think that's how the Orioles view him. I think Jordan Westberg in another organization would be viewed similarly to how the Orioles look at Gunnar Henderson right now. Not necessarily saying, oh, this guy is going to be an MVP candidate, but he'd be the premier guy. He'd be the featured guy, whereas he's just one of many in the mix. And that speaks to the depth that they have. But you know, I think we talked about this and we throughout the offseason. We talked about this even at the end of last year when we knew there were, what, 16 arbitration eligible players on the 40-man roster. We talked about this idea that there's going to be some roster churn. Now, we ended up not really seeing too much of that, right? I mean, of all those guys that were arbitration eligible, what, Ryan McKenna was DFA'd, ended up being outrighted to Norfolk. So he's still in the organization even. But for the most part, they held on to everybody. And that was something that I thought was interesting. If you had asked me in December if Jorge Mateo and Ramon Arias would both be in the organization, I would have said no. They're going to trade one of those guys. Not that they're going to get anything great, but you'll see that one of those guys packaged. Maybe you'll see one of them non-tendered. You know, I think that's where they are considering the number of infielders they have. And that's not to say they're both going to be on the roster all year, but they've really valued their organizational depth. I mean, I think that's one of the factors that went into the Jackson Holliday decision at the time. They wanted to hold on to their veteran infielders. You know, why they felt compelled to have Tony Kemp on the 26-man roster for 10 days, I don't know, but it's what it is. But you know, you mentioned Austin Hayes, and I think that's the most relevant name right now, just because of how the season has started, where look, some fans out there need to chill. When we're talking about Austin Hayes sending him down or DFAing him, I mean, this guy was an all-star last year. And look, I was one of the first ones, you know, just like anyone, pointing out that he struggled in the second half last year. It's one reason why I said don't just leave Colton Cowser on the bench to collect splinters, because he's that kind of talent. And Austin Hayes isn't necessarily a guy that has to play 155 games a year. You know, he's not Gunnar Henderson good, you know, so he's the kind of guy, same with Cedric Mullins, where give them some days off here and there. They don't have to be 155 game guys. They can be 125 or 130 game guys. And I think if you do that, you get Kowser in the mix, you continue to develop him, and everyone stays fresh. And theoretically, you're hoping you can keep everyone healthy doing it that way. So, and look, it could still play out that way. You know, Colton Kowser has been phenomenal, and he should play every day for the time being, but he's one for 23 away from revisiting that, and Austin Hayes getting back into the lineup against at least left-handed starters.
Well, so, Hayes has hit 440 in the past over 10 days too, right? Hayes has had those kinds of tears that Kowser's been on this week.
Everyone does. I mean, everyone does. I mean, again, this is where we all have to remember it's baseball. I mean, the stretch that Austin Hayes has had to start the season, yeah, it's been ugly, and it's magnified when you have a young player who is already at the point where he's ready for playing time and ready to sink or swim in the majors, and he's swimming. You know, he's swimming.
Well, Wally Pipp, Michael Phelps. You know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah. I mean, sure. And look, it could play out that way. But like I said, it also could play out that Colton Kowser cools off and Austin Hayes gets on a heater and bats 400 for the next 4 weeks. I mean, to your point, I mean, it's baseball. But it is – they're at such a fascinating point just in general. And I don't mean this – talking Hayes and Kowser, I mean, just their entire roster and their farm system, where you have these veteran guys now. You know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, it was Hanser Alberto types, right? Renato Nunez, who, you know, those guys had their moments for, albeit for really lousy teams.
Can I say Rio Ruiz? I just like saying Rio Ruiz.
Yeah,
it's
well, Rio Ruiz was never good though, but I like talking about guys.
Yeah.
Sure. But you know, those guys, you knew that they were going to be long gone by the time this team was starting to contend, you know, hoping to contend. You knew they were just placeholders. Now you're at a point where you have a team that won the division last year, won 101 games. You have these guys that were part of the losing, have now been part of the turnaround when we're talking about Santander, Hayes, Mullins, Mountcastle, talking about those guys who've been around and were part of 100 plus lost teams. And this is where it's difficult, I think, for fans, and I think it's even difficult for Mike Elias, even though he, I think, takes pride in being a guy that's not sentimental, that's not overly romantic about anything that happened last year or a couple years ago, or what's going to happen in the, moving forward. He's got to be calculated. You know, he's got to be objective about it as much as he can. But you're at a point now, and we're just using Hayes and Kowser as the most painfully obvious slap you in the face example of this, where you have a veteran player who is a good player. You know, again, people need to pump the brakes on the hate for Austin Hayes. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's been a very valuable player for them the last few years. However, he's a year away from free agency. He is in arbitration and making more money now. And you have someone in Colton Kowser who is displaying, at least at the moment, the kind of ceiling that exceeds anything Austin Hayes has done. So you are in a position, you are reaching an inflection point where you are going to start saying goodbye to some of these guys that have gotten you to this point. And some of this is just the natural churn of you have guys in your farm system who are younger, cheaper, and going to be better. And some of this is just, hey, you know, it's time to move on. We can't, you know, forget about talking about Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson, like the premier prospects that they have, the premier young players on the roster. You can't extend everyone. You know, you're not going to extend everyone. You shouldn't extend everyone. So we are at a point now where you look at someone like Austin Hayes and say, okay, what's next? And again, is he going to be cemented to the bench moving forward? I think we need to just let it play out. Colton Kowser's playing every day for the time being. I think that's obvious. But Hayes can spell Mullins. Hayes can spell Santander. Like, you could still do that. And if Kowser cools off, then yeah, they'll spell him. So, you know, more often than not, these things tend to work themselves out. But in a big picture sense, I think this is where Mike Elias, and this is where fans need to prepare as well. And, you know, we saw this a little bit. I mean, Trey Mancini was traded a couple years ago, right? Jorge Lopez was traded a couple years ago in the midst of the Orioles mathematically being right in the thick of the wild card race late in 22. So we've seen some of it, but you're still going to have to make decisions like that. And that's how you grow, right? In the same way that the Ravens have traded first round picks. They've traded guys that are entering the final year of their contract, guys that were useful, productive players for them. But Eric DaCosta at that point recognized, we're not going to sign this guy long term. And I get it. Football is a salary cap. We all know that. But the point is, sometimes you have to make a difficult decision, and it might even look that you might run the risk of taking a half step back temporarily, but you're growing from a long-term perspective. So obviously the Cowser-Hayes example is very extreme right now, where the veteran is struggling big time and the rookie is looking like an MVP candidate, let alone a rookie of the year candidate. So, he's going to cool off. Austin Hayes is going to heat up, but in the big picture sense, this shows where change is coming, right?
But we
Whether
knew
it's going
that.
to
I
be
mean,
Austin Hayes
if you
traded.
were to lay out Colton Cowser and who he is and his pedigree, this isn't a shock to Hayes, but it's a shock that he's hitting, less than a buck, and this kid's come up and been this good. Again, we talk about Jordan Westberg being a star elsewhere. Cowser's of a different. He's closer to the Rutschman sort of holiday. If it was a wine, it would be a 98-point wine. You know what I mean? Like when it comes to a chance to be a special player, we've undersold Cowser because we've had this embarrassment of riches here, right?
Well, I don't even know if it's so much undersold him because of the other guys they have. I think a lot of it has to do with how much he struggled last year, right? I mean, he was awful. He was awful last year, to the point where they sent him back down. They didn't want to do that, but he wasn't hitting at all. And meanwhile, yeah, you still had Austin Hayes and Cedric Mullins and
It
Anthony
might be Jackson
Santander. And
Holiday
also,
3 weeks from now, dude.
I mean, sure. I mean, of course it could be. But the point is, to your point, let's not act like this guy was a fringe prospect. I mean, he's been a mainstay in the top 100 MLB prospect list the last few years. He's the fifth overall pick in 2021, right? So, okay, he's not a phenom in the way that you look at Jackson Holliday being a 20-year-old in the major leagues, but I mean, that's why I kept saying this idea that Colton Cowser is just going to be on the bench as the fourth outfielder and plays once a week to me was nuts. And I'm not saying that that was the Orioles' plan or Brandon Hyde's plan, but that's why I kept saying, you got to play this guy, right? The apologies to Austin Hayes and Cedric Mullins and Anthony Santander, but none of those guys are so great that how dare we suggest that they don't play 7 days a week? That's not how it was going to work. And even if Austin Hayes right now was hitting 286 rather than 086, and even if Colton Cowser was hitting 241 rather than 441, I'd still be saying the same thing right now because you have to view it through the lens of not just 2024, but also 2024, 3 months from now, but also next year and the year after that, and 4 years from now. So that's part of the churn that's at work here. And that's where, again, there are going to be some difficult and frankly, some unpopular decisions that are going to be made here at a couple of different points. So because you're not going to be able to keep everybody. And it might be that you package a couple prospects along with one of these veteran outfielders for a pitcher or whatever else you might need at any point between now and the trade deadline. So, it's where they are. And let's be very clear, that dilemma that I just laid out, that's a great problem to have. Having too many good players is a great problem to have. But it is a problem nonetheless because you want to maximize your value and you want to be in a position where you don't just have really valuable assets just sitting there on the bench. Now, that said, if Austin Hayes just is their fourth outfielder now moving forward, that's a heck of an upgrade even from a year ago when Ryan McKenna was that guy or Aaron Hicks was that guy for a bulk of last year. So, I think we're still at the point in the season where let things breathe and work Austin Hayes in when you can, when it makes sense. But at the same time, especially with Colton Cowser home run off a lefty like he did on Sunday afternoon, he's in the lineup every day. And we're even seeing, when they've rested a couple guys over the weekend, Colton Cowser was even hitting high in the lineup. I think you're him hitting seventh is that those days are numbered if he's going to continue to hit like this. I mean, he's going to be hitting in at least the top four or five in the lineup. So, it's exciting. It's something to keep a a level head about, because he's going to cool off. He's not going to continue to slug, hit 441. You know, he's not going to have a 970 slugging percentage, but you're seeing the talent, you're seeing the power. And, you know, we've talked about it. You know, Markakis was one of the early comps for him when he was drafted. But, you know, he's more swing and miss, but more power upside as well. I think the other part of his game that I've liked, what I've seen so far, it was one thing that he struggled with the bat last year. I think what was disappointing for the Orioles, and I think this probably played a part in also with him being sent down, was he looked very uncomfortable defensively last year. You know, he kind of, and that was odd for him, because he had played all three outfield spots and played a lot in center field in the minors. And he really struggled in that department last year when he was called up, in addition to his bat. So defensively, we saw how he played a couple balls in front of the Green Monster at Fenway last week. He's looked much more comfortable, and he's looked like someone that I don't think profiles long-term as an everyday center fielder, but he certainly looks like a guy who can play some center field for you as well, in addition to playing plus defense at one of the corner outfield spots. So that's a really valuable player to have there, because as it stands right now, whether we're talking about Cedric Mullins or whether we're talking about Enrique Bradfield a couple years down the line, you know, you need to have a backup center fielder. And if you can have someone like Colton Cowser who can play a pretty solid, respectable center field when called upon, in addition to the offense that he's going to give you, that's a really useful, really valuable player. Whether he's going to be an all-star or not, that's at least just a player that's going to be above average and really valuable to your roster. So it's exciting. And, you know, again, you sort it out. And Brandon Hyde, look, we know Brandon Hyde loves veterans. whether you're the biggest Brandon Hyde supporter or whether you're one of his detractors, you know, anyone who's watched him manage knows that he likes his veterans. So I don't think he's going to bury Austin Hayes. He's going to try to work him in when he can to try to get him going, because that's still better for the Orioles to have him hitting than not, even if it means you're going to trade him.
Austin Hayes hitting the Delman Young double that gets them into the ALCS is very, very likely in October, right? Like we're still not burying him, right?
That would be silly to bury him, whether it's that or whether it's him hitting and being productive to the point where you trade him in July, you know, and he helps you get a starting pitcher or a relief pitcher. I mean, you know, it's, you know, again, we have to chill. Everyone needs to take a deep breath. And the same thing's going to go for Jackson Holliday, who, let's face it, the first four games, it's looked pretty ugly. It's been a lot of swing and miss. It's going to continue to play. He should continue to play. Let him go out there and play. Like, it's that simple. I can't be any more dismissive about, do I have concerns about him right now? No, I don't. This is what Adley Rutschman did this. Gunnar Henderson did this. Colton Cowser, who looks like Babe Ruth right now, did this for 4 weeks last year. Let him play. And it doesn't mean that Mike Elias was right or wrong in how he's handled him, because he could have waited until June and called him up, and this still could have happened.
You know what? Calling him up in Boston, calling him up when the weather was decent, calling up on his right-handers, calling him up, letting him get two games in with his teammates on the road before he comes home and gets the standing ovation and people come to see him and they get their ass beat. And like, I started the whole conversation on Monday morning with you by saying they got their nose bloodied a little bit over the weekend. Not a bad idea. They had to go play for their lives on Sunday to not get swept at home by the Brewers when they had fans in and they have this kid up and, you know, the spotlight's on them and they're expected to do well. And they still pull more a rabbit out of their hat. And they did that twice last week with the Westberg home run and walk-offs and all that stuff. They've had the whole rainbow the first 3 weeks. They've had good weather. They've had bad weather. They've had call-ups. They haven't had any awful injuries. Like, and I would say for all of that, we're talking about all of these names and we're playing the shell game with Kerstad and this outfield, where's Stowers and when's Mayo and, you know, and are we waiting on Bradish and Means? We have all of these cavalry guys coming over the hill. They're in decent shape because they're healthy right now. I mean, let cross your fingers on Bradish up at Aberdeen, right? Like keeping them healthy creates these roster log jam problems. You ain't dealing Colton Cowser or Austin Hayes at the deadline if they're not healthy.
Yeah. I mean, they're not healthy in the rotation, but we knew that in mid-February, right? We knew that the season was going to start this way. But yeah, I mean, it's look at some of the pitcher injuries we've seen around baseball since the season started. You know, premier pitchers, elite pitchers, you know, having Tommy John surgery or UCL surgery with what, internal brace. You know, that's kind of the new thing that you're seeing that seems like it expedites the return a little bit, you know, which Spencer Strider had that for the Braves. So, but yeah, that's a big part of this. You know, we talk about this a lot. The focus has been so much on the Ravens for 20 years now. And we talk about the attrition in the NFL that's become even more magnified with a 17 game schedule and will continue to be that way when they go to 18 years or 18 games at some point, you know, in the not too distant future. But attrition's a big part of this, and trying to stay healthy and trying to have depth and trying to have backups and guys at AAA that if you have an injury, if you have a need, that someone can fill in. And maybe they're not going to be quite as good, but they can give you a really close replica of that production. That's how you win 100 games. You know, the Yankees right now, look at the Yankees being healthy, other than Garrett Cole, which I know, I realize is a major caveat there, but they're relatively healthy. And we've seen how well the Yankees have played early in the season. But the big question for them is, are they going to stay healthy? And they have these veteran players in their lineup that, are they going to stay healthy for the long haul? They didn't last year, and we saw how much they struggled as the year went on. So, but that applies to everyone. You have Earl Weaver love to have deep depth, right? You know, that's one of the aspects of the Oriole way. You know, they had guys, you know, whether we're talking about platoon scenarios or someone waiting at AAA for sometimes 2 or 3, 4 years.
Yeah, and they always had some Merv Rettman or Jim Dwyer or Terry Crowley on the end of the bench. And that's where the Mateos and the Uriases and the McCanns, to your point, and even McKenna last year, even O'Hearn, you know, like the manager picks his favorites too. I don't think he has as much power as Elias in all of this. But to your point, they're not just going to play with a bunch of 22-year-olds.
Yeah, well, I mean, They can, but it's got to fit, right? It has to fit. And that's why, again, I was saying if Colton Cowser is going to be up here, he needs to play. You know, you don't want to call someone up and he sits on the bench. I mean, think about, let's just use Jackson Holliday, and this is kind of an extreme, silly example. Well, let's say Adam Frazier was still on the roster. Why would you call Jackson Holliday up if you're going to play Adam Frazier as your left-handed second baseman? It wouldn't make any sense. So,
and if Adam Frazier's hitting 391 in the first 15 games, you can't call up Jordan Westberg in the case of last year, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely that those aspects at work, but yeah, you need to have a roster that makes sense, that fits. You know, you want to have guys on your bench that are versatile, guys that know how to play and be productive, despite the fact that they're not going to play 7 days a week. You know, that's part of it. Now, that doesn't mean that young guys don't morph into that. That doesn't mean that veteran players are on scholarship forever. I mean, one guy we haven't mentioned, I know he got a hit as a pinch hitter on Sunday, but Ramon Urias, he's off to a really slow start. Now, he's not playing as much now with Holiday being up because Westberg becomes the everyday third baseman, but Ramon Urias is a guy that probably, you know, so much time has been spent on Hayes, and I get it because he's a well-known player and an all-star.
Urias would be the first guy to go, though.
Urias feels like he'd be yeah, exactly. Him or Mateo. And Mateo has played better than him so far this year. But, you know, those guys.
Mateo has different assets, though. Like, you know, I don't.
You can't steal first base, though. You know, I agree with you. And I'm not. Remember, Ramon Urias also plays multiple infield positions. Mateo,
yeah,
is playing second base a little more. He's playing center field a little more. Point is, these are backup players. They've got to remain productive, though, because you have guys in the minor leagues, you know, someone like a Connor Norby, who as an everyday player feels like he's completely, utterly blocked at this point. That said, if Urias isn't going to do the job, you know, when he's called upon, or if Mateo doesn't do the job when he's called upon, someone like Connor Norby could find himself in the majors at some point now, probably as a bench guy. But you know, that's how it works. But the point is, and this goes back to what you
good
were talking
per diem
about,
though, as a bench guy, I know this to be a fact.
Sure. Well, bench guys are still important. You know, I mean, they still are important because you're going to have injuries or you're going to have something happen. Someone gets ejected because they're arguing balls and strikes, you know, whatever it might be. You've got to have guys who are ready to step in and do the job. And for right now, those are veteran players. That doesn't mean it's going to continue to be that way indefinitely. So, you know, as it stands, I'll say this, you know, and you would kind of ask me what I like about this team. I like this roster, or let me specifically, of course I like the roster. I like this everyday lineup now, the way it looks, you know, where you have Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman, Santander, assuming he's going to heat up at some point here in the not too distant future. O'Hearn, Mountcastle, Kowser, Mullen. I mean, you're Cedric Mullins, a guy who a few years ago was a 30-30 player. He's batting seventh for them now. Jordan Westberg, to your point, if he was in other organizations around baseball, he'd be viewed as the guy. Whereas here, he's just one of their guys, and he's batting eighth. And now Jackson Holliday, who I get it, he's taking his lumps right now and getting adjusted, but the best prospect in baseball, and he's hitting ninth. That doesn't mean he's going to hit ninth forever, but it speaks to top to bottom the upside and potential of this lineup. Doesn't mean it's going to be the best in baseball, but it's deep. And assuming everyone gets going and beyond like the extreme struggles, I mean, everyone's going to struggle from time to time, but there are no weak spots in that lineup. Once all these guys get going and kind of perform the way you expect them to perform over the course of 162, you know, whereas you think back to the days of the bottom of the order having a Mateo every single day, or the bottom of the order having, you know, someone like a Ryan McKenna or even Adam Frazier the second half last year, who did not do much offensively. You know, you go through the previous
years. Well, you usually
years,
have a second baseman or a catcher that can't hit, or a shortstop that can't hit. This is going to be an all-star lineup, right? Literally.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. And long-term, I mean, at some point in time, Kobe Mayo shows up, Jordan Westberg might become your super utility guy. I mean, imagine that. You know, think about that. You know, guys that right now we're viewing through a lens of everyday player. I mean, we're talking about it already. Austin Hayes is their fourth outfielder at the moment. And that doesn't mean he's going to continue to be, but as things stand right now, Colton Cowser's too good to take him out of the lineup. Lefty
that
or right.
That didn't take long for you to call Austin Hayes their fourth outfielder. Wow.
He is right. He is right.
I rolled
now.
Right off your tongue. That's true, though. You're right.
No, he is right now. And look, that's right now. Again, 3 weeks from now, Austin Hayes could be the one hitting 400, and Colton Cowser goes three for his next 30, you know, and is scuffling. It's baseball. But I like seeing the Orioles not hesitate to say, hey, Colton Cowser's better right now than Austin Hayes, so he should be playing every day, and he's hitting and deserves to. Whereas Hayes, it's like, hey, Austin, we love you, and we're not burying you. We're not giving up on you. At the same time, we can't. You see what this kid's doing? Yeah, we can't put him on the bench right now. And I think Austin Hayes, as much as he privately is a little frustrated, he would recognize that also and say, look, he's hit way better than me. He should play right now, but keep giving me chances, and they will. And I suspect he'll start hitting, and then it becomes much more interesting, and then it becomes much more of a good challenge for Brandon Hyde. And that's why I said from the beginning of the season, I wanted to see them view their outfielders in terms of having four starters, and you've got the DH spot that you can use as well. Rotate these guys a little bit. Get these guys, you know, all these guys can sit at least once a week. You know, Anthony Santander doesn't have to play every day. Mullins doesn't have to play every day, shouldn't play every day in terms of trying to keep him fresh and healthy, and same for Hayes. So I always felt like this approach was going to be manageable, and it's been more extreme because Cowser's been so great and Hayes has been so bad the first 3 weeks, but it's 3 weeks of baseball, long, long, long season to go, and plenty can change. But where it stands right now, yeah, Colton Cowser's a starting outfielder and Austin Hayes is a reserve until either player forces the issue to suggest otherwise.
Well, we don't disseminate or delineate between starters and reserves. Everyone's going to get a Pac-Man scratch off. They come join me up at Greenmount Station or Greenmount Bowl next Wednesday, the 24th. Putting together the time and the itinerary there, we're going to talk horse racing and the changes in Annapolis last week in advance of the Kentucky Derby. And we got the Preakness coming up now in a month. Preakness used to be like a BFD around here. I'd like to see that change again. Baseball's a BFD around here. We had 35,000 gathered on Sunday. The Twinkies in town with delightful weather ahead the next couple of days, to make your way, plenty of room down at the ballpark for you. I have refrained the last couple of days from heading down there. My media pass is still somewhere out there. We're going to find out. New ownership is here. Cal Ripken's in front of it. Cal Ripken's showing up. The team's winning. I'm watching when it's not on Apple TV, and we will be at Fadley's next Friday with these same Pac-Man scratch-offs. Luke's going to join us. We'll be live from 2 until 5 at Fadley's each and every Friday during the season. Sheila Dixon, Shannon Sneed, running for public office. They join me, as well as Damian, Alicia. Luke and I talk some football, some Ravens football. We got the draft next week as well. And something I've been working on the last 6 weeks with Greg Landry over Towson Transfers and Blue Rock Productions, which is a 25th anniversary documentary. It's called No One Listens, Everyone Hears. Luke is featured in it. Everybody's in it. If you've been in my life at any point, you're probably in it, or there's a picture of you in it in some road trip drinking a beer with me or sitting in a stadium somewhere or at some event. But very, very proud of it. Proud of all of our work here over the last 40 years. And we're going to spotlight it, highlighted. It's going to be released at 5:08 p.m. on April 25th, which is draft night. I figured, Luke, they're going to have a lot of time between picks, right? Tell people this. I mean, this is my pimping for the documentary, is you're going to have time between picks next weekend when you're not watching baseball and the Orioles are on the West Coast before this whole thing happens.
Yeah, and Thursday night, they pick 30th. As I've said to you in some of our previous segments, they could end up trading out of the first round. So you might wait around all night for the Ravens to pick without them actually picking a player. So why not watch?
And the Orioles don't play on Thursday, by the way. The West Coast ends Wednesday afternoon. They're in L.A. They come back. And then you and I are together on the 26th, and they take on the Oakland. Now, that's a weird one because you got the draft going on and the Orioles taking on the Oakland A's. You can't be in both places, though, right? Is that correct?
I'm going to do Orioles pregame and obviously be with you at Fadley's, and then I'll head to Owings Mills. I mean, that's
all right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the seat that says WNST, Nestor could sit in that actually and do his
there
job.
There you go. That's possible. Sure.
Maybe. Well, we'll see. That's the 26th. We're worried about that. I'm not here to talk about the future. I'm here to talk about the 25th. 25th, 5:08. We're going to be releasing the 25th anniversary. It's all brought to you by our friends at Curio Wellness, Foreign Daughter. I have my Curio shirt on with my big O. Or the O is over here for Curio, and the O for Baltimore is over here. See you next Friday down at Fadley's. Come down and get some Maryland Lottery tickets. Also, our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions, as well as Jiffy Lube Multi Care. Great week ahead. Baseball ahead. Draft ahead. Great weather happening around here. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.